Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Well, folks, it's now or never. I'm not sure if you're going to get tired of hearing that. And I hope you don't think this is hyperbole. I hope anybody that understands and recognizes where we are in a historical timeline, where we are, I mean, if you just look at every country that has gone through a Bolshevik revolution, it's not like massive people died at the very beginning. Massive people died after the revolution. Go look at China, Russia, Khmer Rouge in Cambodia, so forth and so on. I mean, it is once they take over, they implement a completely different version, but it's very similar. It's actually a very similar doctrine of the Tory Acts. Instead of deporting people that they consider enemies, they kill them. You got to understand that this is a godless movement. This is I don't want to call it secular. This is really an anti-Christian, anti-religion, anti-organized religion of morality and those types of things. You have to understand that even though people that get pulled into communism, they may still have, because historically it's shown that it is a migration as people at the point in time in Russia that had morals and had families, it took them a while to actually adjust before they were able to revolt and enforce this on others. They had to slowly change their mores to actually align with this importance of demolishing the family structure and allowing the state to dictate what is best for the family. Go read Marx and Engels' manifesto, the Communist Manifesto, and at the very end, this is where they actually say that it is essential. It is essential for the state to control the family. That, you know, once a parent or the parents have procreated, the state needs to come in to ensure that that child is brought up in the way that will best serve the state. So you have to understand that we're, you know, as creations of our Creator, our God and Father, when we look at where we are and what we're doing today, we're fighting the most evil movement that's existed over the course of the history of mankind. It's really that simple. So when I say it's now or never, you need to start making a real effort. Now, there's a couple things I'm going to give you a look down what we're going to be covering this week and next. One of those things we're going to cover is the Tory Acts. We're going to get back into the Tory Acts because, as I said, they have their own version, but instead of deporting, they just kill you and throw you in a mass grave. Now, there's the Tory Acts, but what we're going to be doing tomorrow, and actually, you know, I promised that we would do this show on Wednesday, but I think we're going to do it on Thursday. So we will push off the look into the Idaho, you know, candidacy race, the statewide race, and look at some of the things that are being pulled by the politicians that are trying to buy votes. And what we want to do is we actually want to actually, you know, look at that and what should they really be doing? And, you know, the problem is most people don't feel like we have the time to have an honest conversation with the electorate. The politicians don't believe that there's just not enough time and it's too complicated that the electorate's not smart enough to understand what the heck it is we're talking about and what needs to be done. And I'm being serious. They really believe that they are that, you know, be that much beyond your comprehension and your ability to, you know, grasp the gravity or the magnitude of these issues. And folks, this is not rocket science. As a matter of fact, lawyers come along and they try. The only thing that makes law and lawyers sometimes difficult to understand is the fact that they have to be taught Latin. And so they literally speak a foreign language when they, you know, go through law. And even today, even though Latin is not taught, the important portions of Latin in health or medical, in the medical industry, as well as in the legal industry. So if you want to look at where Latin, the roots of Latin, still exist in an educational realm, there you go. And so we're actually dealing with people that are deliberately speaking in a foreign tongue. Why? Why is it that they're speaking in this foreign tongue? Well, because then you can't understand. When they start throwing out these things, these words, then you really, you know, because you never took Latin, you don't understand what they're talking about. And it kind of, I don't know if it gives them a feeling of superiority, but I am telling you, our legal system based on common law should not be so entrenched in this complexity, as well as this, I'll just say, the building upon precedents by ruling and not by law and judgments. And we'll get into the history of common law, and hopefully by that time we will actually have Brent Allen Winters. But more importantly, I'm going to talk to you about how you can get involved and get involved in spreading the show, Reclaiming the Republic, so that it can, we can get this onto local flyover areas. So there's, what's some of the flyover areas? Well, actually, California has a lot of flyover areas, and we also have flyover areas in most of the red states that are, you know, east of California or the West Coast, because once you hit the Rocky Mountain states from Idaho, Nevada, Arizona, and east, you'll find that there's lots of states that don't have really large markets. And so I'm going to talk to you about setting up kind of like a team or a league of agents. And actually, so we're going to be doing this for monetizing. I want to get you to understand why we're going to do this and where this money is going to go. And most of the money will end up going to those people that are actually doing the work. But that money is not necessarily money that we're just trying to help keep your lights on and that type of thing. What we want to do is make sure you have the money and resources to do what you need to do. And so we'll be talking a bit about this and how this will be coming forward. I need to really document this and get this down. But in addition, as you can tell, I did not get a chance to get the constitutional minutes out yet. And that's because GR is working on a briefing and a historical perspective, as well as an argument, a legal argument, why every state must audit the Constitution, or actually not audit the Constitution, use the Constitution to audit every federal law publication that is out there. What's a federal law publication? Well, if the federal government publishes a law, whether it be an executive order, a statute, a regulation, an act, it doesn't matter. If they publish something that they expect to be able to enforce, that they expect you to be able to, or the state or someone to hold accountable, that you have to do this, then that actually has to be scrutinized. So we've introduced, I've been dancing around this. We've been working in a particular state. Now, I don't want to get into the state until it's actually been announced in the media announcement, and everything else is done, because we don't want to, you know, necessarily, it's not like playing our hands, but we're really busy in getting things ready for this. So what we're going to do in our next show, in tomorrow and on Wednesday, what we're going to do on those two shows is we're going to air one of my long, and I haven't played this in a while. This is an interview, and this is one of my earliest interviews I ever did. I think this is back in 2016 or 2017. And so it had to have been early 2017, because this was with Dr. John Arvile. Now, Dr. John Arvile, I met him because one of the first people out there to bought my book was Dr. John Arvile. And what he wanted to do was he wanted to look at my perspective. And so he kind of read through it, but he didn't really read through it. And that's not uncommon. it's not uncommon that people kind of look, and that what they try to do is they try to make an assessment on what they think they're reading, and you can't do that with my writing. As a matter of fact, it's has come to pass that when we look at legislators and so forth that, you know, want to quickly look, you just quickly glance at something and then turn right around and say, I do not support, like what ended up happening with these two legislators in Idaho. And so what we want to do is we want to play this interview so that we can kind of walk around, I'll call it the, instead of the woodshed, the mulberry bush. And we're going to be going around and around and around. And what I want, and then what I'm trying to get, is I'm trying to get the good doctor to tell me what he supports in enforcing the Constitution. And so for all of you folks out there that are in support of the Convention of States, here's a person that actually kind of supports it. He actually supports the judicial process. But he does, you know, he does not support Republic Review because he understands it will end the gravy train. Now, he doesn't say this, but we all kind of, as he said that towards the end of the interview, we kind of wrapped up. We sat there and it just came really clear. When you're sitting in higher education and you're dependent, and he does talk about either during the interviews or while we were setting up, there was some mention about federal dollars that are tied to, you know, the education system and what they have to do and how they have to scrutinize and so forth. And so even though those federal dollars may be, you know, encumbering on them, they are also a, you know, it's like an opium or a drug that they become addicted to and they can't live without it. We'll be right back after these two promos. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic Review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so where were we? So what we're going to do, because GR has still got a lot of work to do regarding writing this description, background, why we have to get the state legislators to actually begin to identify what federal laws that the federal government has forwarded to them and which ones are constitutional and which are not constitutional. So we're going to have to create this kind of like a background, or actually I will create this background on exactly, you know, why, or technically what the federal government's powers are and how those powers are enumerated and so forth. So what we're looking to do is kind of have a little couple-day hiatus by using this interview to kind of buy some time, because over the weekend I kind of heavily worked on this as well. What's important is that when we come back on Thursday, I'll kind of wrap up what we're talking about. But what I'm going to do on Thursday is I am going to open up some emails and or actually read some of the verbiage in these statewide candidates that are trying to run for office to say, you know, we need your support, you got to support me, blah, 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 blah. And and we're going to examine that. And I'm going to tell you, you know, we're going to talk about, is this really leading or is this managing? Are they really leading in significant change, or are they managing? And so I know this challenges people's paradigms, but bottom line, what we want to do is help you understand how you can run an effective campaign on leading and not by managing. And so I don't want to get into the details at this point, but what we're also going to do is then we're going to dig into the Tory Acts, and we're actually going to go through them. I kind of had talked about them at a high level, but this time I'm actually going to read them. They're not that long. It's maybe all together, it's a couple pages. But the thing that jumps out at this is, as I talked about last time, and the reason I talked about it last time was this movement in creating committees of safety. Putting all that aside, what we really want to do is we want people that really understand what the heck's going on, and that we need to understand who the enemies of the Constitution are. And we don't have to create a government. All we have to do is take over our government. And as they kind of say at Red Pill Expo, why fight town hall when you can become town hall? And that is the segment, or that's the portion of the Red Pill Expo that gets public servants and people talking about running for office. This is a big change. This is, you know, this becomes like Red Pill Expo becomes a facilitator for grassroots activity and grassroots movements. So my hat goes off to Red Pill Expo and G. Edward Griffin in allowing this to happen. And as a matter of fact, he's in the past two Red Pill Expos, we've been inviting state legislators. So I need to create a promo that actually runs that will help you understand why you need to start getting your state reps to attend Red Pill Expo, either online or in person, because either way, we're going to make it free so that we can do a roll call. And what we want to end up doing, and I got to talk to Dan about this, is what we want to do is we want to let everybody know who's attended. Has your representative attended this meeting? And if they didn't, then, okay, that's interesting. And you ask them to attend, then you can start connecting the dots. And Dan happens to be the host for the show, Connecting the Dots. Anyway, let me get through some obligatories. As you know, this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you're listening to the only show that goes through the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. We are not a part of the pornographic news cycle. We're not here to, you know, keep you engrossed in everything to distract you from keeping you from becoming effective in fighting this Bolshevik revolution and taking back our government and holding our public servants accountable. That's exactly what we're about. And I know that everybody out there that doesn't like to see or even hear about a movement like this that happens to be either the politicians or those who are bribing politicians who are trying to, you know, gain control of you. Well, folks, you know, join the cause and get involved, because, you know, the greater the movement, the greater the force, the less chance they have in upsetting it by coming after yours truly or what have you. But anyway, you're looking at, and as a matter of fact, I don't take pride in this, but if you really understand who is the number one enemy of the globalist movement, it is the person or those people that are involved in taking down their control and their apparatus that they have set up. And I want you to understand this, that these people that are doing this, we're talking about crimes against humanity. If you understand everything that they're doing and everything that they're pulling off in China and all of these other countries, these are huge crimes against humanity. And we cannot just sit by and let those things go when we're in the restoration process. What we'll have to do is we're going to have to hold these people accountable. Everybody needs to be held accountable so that they face their day of, in this life, if we possibly can, they'll face their day of judgment for their crimes here. So anyway, and hopefully, you know, they can, you know, plead for mercy. They, you know, can recognize the errors of their ways and assist us and, you know, name names and, you know, the rest of that stuff, right? Like Epstein was going to do. Anyway, Fortitude Financial Coaching. If you're looking for quality coaching and getting disciplined on your finances, reach out to Gary Smith at Fortitude Financial Coaching. ConstitutionEducation.us is where you can get courses and material. We're also going to be exposing you to this idea of a curriculum, but we don't want to necessarily get there yet. What we do want to do is we want to provide you with a detailed bathing of curriculum on the Constitution, the kind that I would say, you know, actually hits it. As I look at, and I call it auditing, but as I go through the courses from Hillsdale and a lot of other places, they are so lacking. They are basically regurgitating the civics types of classes way back when they started rewriting history and explaining the Constitution and justifying the government's general powers that they don't possess. Anywho, timbernation.com. If you're looking for hardwood furnishings, highly recommend it. Go to timbernation.com, reach out. They do custom, they'll customize anything and everything as long as they can make it into something that they can ship to you flat in an RTA, ready to assemble type of package. Anywho, Ad Local is, as we're talking, Ad Local is becoming a help and a driver in helping this movement. This is big. This is big when you get a company that actually is assisting us. And so if you need ISP support, you know, email system management, or I should say email management and keeping, you know, your people apprised or what have you, talk to Ad Local. Talk to them about your domain presence, your domain hosting, so forth and so on. Anyway, we also have RadioDustCovers.com. And with that, what we want to do is actually help you, you know, keep and protect your, you know, expensive hardware and so forth. So go to RadioDustCovers.com. Now, concluding, now that we've concluded natural law and this, you know, this thing called, you know, the laws of nature, nature's God, and what does it really mean at a high level? And hopefully you get it. And I know that it's confusing for some people because there's so many people that say, what the heck is natural law? And in essence, it is the driver and the foundation for enlightened societies because it is a society that embraces God's law and builds upon that and builds upon the disciplines necessary to be, you know, a more righteous society. As I gave you the axiom of what I will say as the axiom of liberty and the importance the importance of liberty, as you know you've heard me say that, you know, there civil society has a symbiotic relationship between the key factors of liberty being free agency, responsibility, and accountability. I'm paraphrasing, but bottom line is that when you have these three elements, your free agency, your accountability, and your responsibilities to society in harmony, where you are actually becoming a responsible, accountable person in your actions of what you choose to do, then it actually creates this catalyst. It becomes this vehicle for synergy for all people, because as long as all people are moving down this path of enlightenment, It enhances our ability to obtain wealth, as well as our spiritual well-being, as well as all sorts of things. This is how society actually lives at a higher level, an optimum level of productivity and an optimum level of health, so forth and so on. You know, we used to have one of the best healthcare systems in the world because it was unencumbered by government. In America, it wasn't until the 1950s, where government really started injecting themselves. And at that point, that takeover of that market and industry was the root cause of so many people dying today. Anyway, let us move forward, because one of the things that we didn't get a chance to do, and I talked about these memes and anarchists and progressives and so forth. What I'll do is I'll kind of pull up these memes again really quick. We'll kind of cover these. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk a little bit about some common law, some other stuff that we're going to cover in the next few days. But hang in there. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so what we want to do is, what I'd like to do is, I'd like to focus kind of on like what we talked about or what I mentioned on the monologue regarding the Bolshevik Revolution, regarding what's going to happen as we move forward if we don't turn this around. Well, at least we already understand that. We understand that what's going to happen. And so I actually don't necessarily need to labor the point. But what I want you to understand is how in some cases, what would seem like an alternate view is actually a supporting view of not restoring power. Now, when we look at, and I didn't get a chance to really focus on that libertarian meme. Now, there's a meme that I saw on social media that I kind of just grabbed a picture. And this picture is a panel of people. They're actually cats in suits and one lady cat in a dress. And they're holding up their left arm to like the Bellamy salute, which is, you know, like the Nazi salute, you know, straight out. And they're holding up a book that has like a picture with a swastika. It looks like Hitler in the center and cats on the floor. And it says Moss. And What they are stating in this meme is, all those in favor of banning this book say meow. And what's on the table or the counter with these people that are sitting at, it's the American School Board. Now, what this meme is in response to, this meme is in response to this movement in actually taking control of the education that is being placed in the minds and into the hands of children. And the libertarians think, oh, you know, as soon as you start injecting control, then, you know, you're doomed, or this is a bad sign. Well, hold on. This meme does not have, it's not like these cats are holding the Scopes trial or evolution, because bottom line, that was the beginning of censorship. As soon as they won that little battle of the monkey trial and was able to start getting rid of evolution, the war was on. The removal of the Bible, the removal of all of these mores or morals and these types of things being taught in the school was removed. And it was as simple as that. And this is how the judiciary has gone well beyond its bounds. Now, in my last constitutional minutes, I yammered and just, I think I drove home this whole point of the Convention of States. Anybody that thinks that the states will be unfettered, that the federal government will not inject themselves into the Convention of States, they're sadly mistaken. There is not a time or a case where and when the federal government can inject themselves into the discussion, into taking control of something. They have, they will, and that's what's going to end up happening. So why even waste our time on something that the federal government, we know the federal government has jurisdiction on. It's within the Constitution. This is why I went through this in my constitutional minutes, and I kind of have already talked about Article 3, Section 2, that the jurisdiction, or actually, I can go to it because I have it. And so what it basically states, and what does, let me see, is this it? No. Let me find it here. Okay, so here it is. Article 3, Section 2, Subsection 1. The judicial power, in other words, their jurisdiction, shall extend to all cases in law and equity arising under this Constitution, the laws of the United States, and treaties made or which shall be made under the authority. End. So that's part one of subsection one, that anything that's within this Constitution, the federal court will have jurisdiction. So let me ask you this now. Let's go back and look at what I just talked about regarding this meme. Was education and is education within the Constitution at all? Does the federal government have any enumerated power for education and what is to be taught to children? Why is it and how is it that they were able to pull this into a federal court? Now, it doesn't really matter how or why. The fact is, the federal court should not have allowed it. And the states, at that point in time, the states made the mistake because they didn't stand up and say, you didn't have any jurisdiction. We're not following any of these edicts. This and many of the other things, like when they injected themselves into labor, the sick chicken case or what have you. When you start looking at all of the ways that they've aggrandized and been able to get their fingers into things that they've had no power over, and then all of a sudden they make a ruling, and the next thing you know, they start enforcing law. And they start enforcing what they have asserted, usurped, and so forth. Folks, what does it take for people to understand, you know, the delineation? Because I'll tell you what, the federal government is very quick to say we have jurisdiction over this when it's within the Constitution. And they will. They will. Why do you think otherwise? Why would you think that, oh, well, this is going to be a state's activity? No, Article 5 is right there in the Constitution. The best process to keep the federal government out of the process itself is allowing Congress to submit the amendments and either reject them or ratify them. That's it. Then it's all done at the state level, and each state independently would ratify. But when you pull the states together into a convention, now the federal government goes, you know what, we want to kind of control this. And as a matter of fact, if they come along and they say they're going to pay for it, because technically the states should pay for it, the states are the ones that are calling for this convention. They're the ones that should have to pay. Why should the American taxpayer have to pay the federal government for these states that are choosing to potentially rewrite the Constitution? So, jumping into the 11th Amendment in context to what I just said. So, if you read Section 3 that I just read, and then you go down a little bit further, the next clause is to all cases of admiralty maritime and maritime jurisdiction, to controversies to which the United States shall be a party, and to controversies between two or more states, between a state and citizens of another state, between citizens of different states, between citizens of the same state, claiming lands under grants of different states, and between a state or the citizens thereof and foreign states, citizens, or subjects. Now, wow, that seems to cover almost everything. Now let's go to the 11th Amendment. The 11th Amendment basically shut that down. And this is what the 11th Amendment said. The judicial power of the United States shall not be construed to extend to any suit in law or equity commenced or prosecuted against one of the United States by citizens of another state or by citizens or subjects of any foreign state. So in other words, the federal government can't have jurisdiction over a lawsuit by a citizen or by citizens or subjects of a foreign state or by citizens of another state. So in other words, they kind of close down this ability for you to drag into court another state because, you know, you feel like this is a case. And nobody understands that this actually kept the federal government. It basically knocked off all of these other situations that they put at the end of subsection 1 in section 2 of article 3. In other words, the federal government extending into all of these different cases between citizens and so forth, no. No. They are not allowed to start dragging into federal court any of these cases between citizens of another state or citizens or subjects of any foreign state. This was done in the early 1790s because the states recognized that the federal government was quick to start dragging them into court and aggrandizing their authority by using Section 3 as this kind of like this general, almost like a general power. And I'll read it again. The judicial power shall extend to controversies between two or more states, between a state, because the 11th Amendment doesn't include the two or more states, and citizens of another state, and this is where the 11th Amendment changes that, cannot be construed and or to basically extend to by to laws, or I should say cases, prosecuted against one of the United States by citizens of another state or by citizens of any foreign state. So the last part of this actually gets wiped out by the 11th Amendment. So how is it that we see these cases where they're popping up, where people from another state or foreign people are suing states, suing governors and so forth for cases and going into federal court? How is that? Because they don't recognize this amendment. So the point, back to the Convention of States, the point is, why is it that anybody would believe... Why is it that anybody would believe that if we created an amendment that would actually make them behave just a little bit better, that wouldn't fix the problem, but they're going to behave better? Well, they're supposed to behave better with the 11th Amendment, and they've ignored that, and they've gone back to their bad behavior. That's exactly what will happen. We have to enforce the Constitution. So we'll be back on definitizing and these bills and legislation.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so at this point, I kind of want to just go in really quick to this concept of definitizing. In December, we went through a long list of issues and matters that will help realign government back into the limited scoped government that the Constitution created. And so as I've moved forward with Republic Review and I started getting people to really understand that this is the process that we have to initiate, getting to that process is, you know, I don't want to say it's a cumbersome road, but getting to that can become a very easy process if we definitize the Constitution. So in essence, what we're looking to do is in this legislative bill and moving forward into some of these states, what we want to do is we want to get the states to declare that they only recognize what we call the organic constitution, that people clearly understand that there's this thing called the organic constitution that everybody carries around with them, and then there's this monstrosity called the annotated constitution that has, it's basically 3,000 plus pages. And it is how the federal government chooses to interpret the constitution. However, when it comes down to interpreting the constitution, the first and only source that would be a legal binding source to interpret would be the actual words used during the ratification debates. So what we're going to do is we're going to actually go through and kind of definitize the Constitution in this course material. So kind of brings me back around to what I was talking about earlier on in today's show. We want to create a constitutional education system that when you read this line in the Constitution, you'll hear what was stated during the ratification debates as they explained how that was defined. In so doing, this takes away the court's ability to interpret and to decide for themselves what that means. In other words, this becomes a legally binding term and definition to that clause within the Constitution. How important is that? Friends, it is that important. It is so important to keep the ambiguity. It wipes out the annotated Constitution. It wipes out this general repository that the government can say whatever they want to say when they need to say something that justifies what they want to do. And that's what they've been doing all along. They've been able to carefully craft these arguments and be able to, you know, carefully formulate these positions to help them move down this road to say, we have any and all powers necessary. Well, they don't. This is why it is so important to start understanding the enumerated powers, or I should say, those things that are enumerated. A lot of people use the terms enumerated powers, but I want to let you understand that the enumeration in the Constitution is not limited to powers. It's limited to the possession of land. The federal government has the enumerated acceptable land ownership or possession. It's right there in the Constitution. What they can possess and what they can't possess. Or actually, if it's not listed, they can't possess it. There's nowhere that's listed for forestry. There's nowhere listed for reservations for people. There's nothing in the Constitution that allows them to occupy. And as you go through the Constitution, you see how they're listing these things. These are the things that they have the authority to do. And that's it. They also have roles and responsibilities. Those are enumerated as well. In other words, when you look at an enumerated constitution, it clearly delineates the roles, responsibilities, and powers, not just powers. Oh, well, you have this power, this power, this power. Well, you know, Article 1, Section 8 is where you find the listing of enumerated powers. But what about all the rest of the articles, or I should say the sections in Article 1, 1 through 7? What about 9 and 10? 9 and 10 are negatives that were placed upon the federal government, and it enumerated these things the federal government cannot do. So it's, in other words, it's listed in 9 and 10, that the federal government can't do these things in 9, and the state government can't do these things in 10. So when you really kind of look at the Constitution in the bigger picture, you'll start realizing that it is delegating very specific roles, delegating very specific responsibilities and powers. Only those things do they have the authority and jurisdiction over. That is it. So when we go into this legislative session, what we're hoping to do, and what we want to do, is we want to sell this to the good people of the state. We need you to be prepared to start doing this as well. You need to get ready to introduce this kind of legislation. And as a matter of fact, you need to use this in the 2022 election to calling upon every state legislator, as well as your county commissioners, everybody, to recognize you want them to start calling out any and all political, or I should say actually, legal publications from the federal government, anything that is enforceable by law or enforceable and in the effect of law, then those things need to be challenged and verified that they are within those enumerated roles, responsibilities, and powers, period. If it is not enumerated, then they cannot do it. And therefore, the law is illegitimate. But here's the problem, and here's the rub. We can't nullify these laws. We don't want to nullify these laws because we have this commitment to basically, and the federal government is running rickshaw over the states really badly. And so what we have to do is then we have to, as the byproduct of this committee then needs to call upon the other states to form a similar committee to do exactly the same thing, to verify the findings of this committee and to go through and ensure that, you know, everything is correct, and then to call upon all other committees. Now, in this, and being a part of this, as this audit, what we're going to do in putting into this is a part of this call upon other states to actually get involved in calling out and being and preparing to interpose with the federal government. A part of this process will be, and it'll be delineated in this, that if the state that is, you know, doing this audit has an active petition for an Article 5 convention to formally join in the interposition, they must fully withdraw their petition for a convention of states. In doing that, that right there kills the convention of states at this point in time. Now, I'm also, and if you haven't heard, what we really want to do is we really want to start crafting language, because as this moves forward, if this actually becomes the catalyst by definitizing the Constitution, hopefully this curriculum of education will be very successful in developing this. But moreover, what we really want to do is we really want to, you know, help the states definitize. And in that process, as they definitize, it makes it easier for every other state to definitize what the Constitution is and how they are to, you know, be a party to the compact instead of being a subject to the compact. We're not subjects. The states are not subjects to the compact. They are the parties to it. The subjects are technically the federal government. They are the child, they're the subcontractor that the states created in this Constitution. And so as the framers, you know, move forward and form this general government, they recognize in reading the Constitution that they would need three departments: the State Department to deal with foreign affairs, the Treasury Department to deal with commerce and taxation. And you got to understand, the whole point of commerce is taxation. It's not to control and dictate what's safe and what isn't safe. That's for the states to do. That is not for the federal government to do. When it says to regulate commerce amongst the, and you go through that, that does not give them the ability to dictate what can be produced and what can't be produced. You have to understand that this system was a free market system, not a mercantile system. And that concept of, as described by many, of regulating commerce, that speaks and breathes of a heavily controlled economy and market. In other words, when you look at the, you know, the free market concept by Adam Smith and the Wealth of Nations, and how all nations should have free trade, and as the states, being independent and sovereign nations, should be able to produce whatever it is they choose to produce. The federal government doesn't have a dog in this fight. The only time when the federal government gets involved in commerce between the states is when one state tries to take an advantage or starts taxing other states in selling their goods, those types of things. So, folks, when we come back tomorrow, we will be airing the John R. Vile interview, as well as Wednesday we'll be airing the John R. Vile. This is a two-parter, and we're going to go straight into it, and we're going to get into some meat. It's a very good discussion. I think you'll love this. We will be back on Thursday examining this Idaho race at the state level. We will be back. God bless. I'm J.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.